This is the Inner Change Maker with Jay Wong, the podcast dedicated to purpose-driven entrepreneurs and multi-passionate individuals. Tune in each week as we bring you an inspiring person and message to help you activate and tap into your inner change maker. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and let's get started. Hello everyone, today we have with us such an awesome guest, and his name is Tuan Nguyen. Now, for those of you who don't know him, Tuan Nguyen has been named Top 40 Under 40. He's a two-time TEDx speaker, he's a pretty successful serial entrepreneur, and he even has his name engraved on the Wall of Inspiration in Ottawa. So the best part, I think, about Tuan is that most of his success can be attributed back to him and what he calls his acts of volunteerism. And to date, he has raised over $20 million for charities across the globe. Tuan was and still is a mentor to me, and he's one of the most caring people I have ever met. In this episode, we talk about how giving back is what helped him create a super network and help him build multiple successful businesses. Without any more delays, I give you the conversation with Tuan Nguyen. Tuan, thank you so much for joining us on the first episode of the Inner Changemaker podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jay. It's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor. Thank you. Thank you.
And how are you doing on this wonderful, wonderful day?
Doing great. You know, just enjoying my time in this lovely cloudy day in Ottawa here, but above all clouds is sunshine, so I'm always living the life, enjoying life. So what can I say? It's great.
That's great. That's great. Well, in I know in like the intro, we talked a little bit just about how you've been a TEDx speaker and how you've had, you know, some really great momentum and success in your own businesses. And it always started with you, what you call your acts of volunteerism. And so I think the audience would be really interested to kind of hear about, I guess, how your whole journey got started in volunteering, and how does that actually relate to, you know, personal development and business success and, you know, I guess life success as well.
Well, thank you. Yes, I do talk a lot about acts of volunteerism, and it's it is probably the core part of my life. I tell people a lot of things can change in my life, but one thing is always consistent since a child was volunteerism. But where did it all start? Well, it's probably started when we made our journey to Canada, and our family continually showed gratitude to our community for helping us. And I wouldn't want to get into a long, long-winded story, but I left in 1975 when Vietnam was taken back by the communist government, and my family wanted to provide a different future for us, so they fled the country, and during those times it was quite dangerous. And in the process of coming here without having food or water on the boat, I personally dehydrated to a point where I was pretty much a dead infant in my mom's arm. And we were luckily picked up by a U.S. carrier, which was able to sustain my life. And making our way eventually to Canada, within 3 months from that point, I struggled with my health. And at the same time, very early on into our years in Canada, my dad was pretty ill. And so it was tough. And but my mom and my dad were always continually grateful, and I pursued that sense of gratitude. And I started giving back a ton since I was a kid to the community.
And how did you initially, I mean, I think that's an amazing story. I mean, myself, you know, I didn't have nearly as dramatic of a story as that, but, you know, my parents also, you know, immigrated here, and almost, I totally understand what it feels like to grow up, I think, as like a third culture kind of kid and have, you know, the, you know, Vietnamese background and coming into Canada. I mean, how did that initially feel on the onset?
I kind of saw more of the challenge from my parents, because growing up here, I saw the difference in culture. And I think what was good and challenging, and in hindsight, a fortunate privilege on my part, was having the challenge of balancing the Vietnamese ways with a North American way. And then also after all these years, and I'm, you know, 40 right now, and I'm seeing the beauty of how the two can mix together and create quite a fruitful and meaningful life and a way of living. But definitely the Vietnamese side, just how we offer respect and the way we honor people, it's how I show gratitude. And, you know, we talk about my acts of volunteerism, how it's led to business success. It is truly the foundation of volunteerism. When you do it with absolute intent of making a difference, there's a lot of empowerment that happens within your body. And that's gratitude, and that's showing respect, that's showing love and kindness. And it's amazing how that, as a foundation for how you run your business, how you deliver valuable products and services, how that ends up creating a lot of success on the outside as well. So I'm very grateful to the Vietnamese culture. And my dad would say, you know, it's amazing here in Canada because they honor their family so well in right. different ways. Like they have Father's Day and Mother's Day. We don't have that in back home. And right. And or back in Vietnam, they might do now a version of that from what I hear, yeah. but back in the day they didn't. And that type of honoring family values in Canada is also extremely warm, extremely down to earth. And I also take that into my volunteerism, kind of inherently or innately, but it also innately transitions and transpires through my entire way of doing business.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's really cool. Getting back to, I guess, your story. I mean, how did you you mentioned that it started at a young age. What was like the first thing, I guess, you guys did in terms of volunteering?
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing was in terms of like even just raising and money and giving back share was as young as grade one, grade two. I'm not sure if you guys remember back in the old days, where we were able to sell oranges for, as a fundraiser, we'd sell boxes and boxes of oranges. And I vividly remember, you know, celebrating every box I was able to sell because it would mean more to charity. But when it got really, really obvious to me that it's something that I was going to incorporate for the rest of my life was when a friend of mine, Linda, her father had fallen ill and eventually passed away. And during that process, four of us took our instruments from grade 8 band, went to the Montreal subway station and played music and raised $100. And we passed it over to her. And it was an amazing feeling doing two things, something we love. And while doing something we love, we could also raise money for charity, which is kind of my mantra for volunteerism, which is anything you love to do that, you know, that helps time fly, you could do it with a charitable component. And hence, from that point on, which is great, anything that I did, and this was kind of, I said this in my TED Talk, which is from birthdays, anything that meant gathering of people, and in my case, I love also music, dance, fashion, arts. I incorporate all of that into my life, and I always throw in a charitable component, so that way, you know, there's a lot of meaning and passion and energy driven from these activities.
I think that is so great. You went from, you know, selling oranges to kind of incorporating all the different facets and of all the things that are interesting to you into your life. I mean, what would be, I guess, some advice if, you know, if a person was listening to this and they're multi-passionate type of individual, you know, they're into dancing, they're into, you know, they have different things going on. I mean, how could they kind of begin to incorporate volunteerism into something that they're passionate about?
That's a great question, actually. First thing I would say is that they should start by developing a personal goal. What is the personal goal of volunteerism other than making a difference? How would they like to grow from this experience? Is it coming up, for example, let's take dance, a brand new number and a new choreography is the goal of this effort, or gathering, you know, 10 new friends that share the same interests and creating a mini community out of it so they could continue to do this with a little bit giving back to charity? Or could it be, I'd like to get into the almost like the business, not meaning making money, but the business of event planning around art. So I want to gain management skills, project management skills, time management skills, all that stuff. So the first thing is kind of enlist yourself in the skills you want to develop in this project, right? And then after that is now thinking about now the difference you want to make. Funny, it's not about the difference first. It's actually where you want to make a difference about your own life first, how you can grow. And then if you're able to grow in this experience, it's guaranteed you're going to give back to the community in a better way. So then at that point, you go to step two, which is how do I want to make a difference to the community? Is it raising money? If it's raising money, then you have to take the effort and either partner with people or learn yourself on how is money made, not in a selfish, profitable way, but how is money exchanged for value? And so when you learn how to grow yourself and how you learn how what you want to do, like fundraising, for example, and raise money, and you got to understand what creates a successful fundraiser. Obviously, raising a lot of money is the best thing to do, is just to give more money to charity and gather people in the process, right? So, I mean, those are the first two basic steps. And believe it or not, those two combined will create a higher sense of level of aptitude, community, and as well as you start getting involved with this enterprising mentality, which is taking it a bit of a risk for impact, right? So that's what I would give advice to people: self-reflection, and then what kind of impact you want to make. And based on that impact, you're going to know what you need to align to make that impact successful.
I love it. I love it. It's, you know, I think a lot of, for the people that are listening, I think we're, the narrative right now in the world is that you have to kind of pick either your passions, right? Or money, or, you know, try to go kind of a different route. And I love the fact that you're combining, you know, the personal goals with kind of the difference you want to make. But on top of that, you're thinking in a strategic way about how to actually raise money. And whether that's, you know, for your business or whether that's on a personal level, I think a lot, you know, that's extremely educational. You know, getting back to, I guess, you, I mean, where are you, you know, how has volunteerism, I guess, made an impact to where you are currently today?
Wow, that's a great question there, Jay. how do I summarize this in 3 minutes here? Let's continue from where I last left off a bit earlier about volunteerism. And, you know, I obviously started learning how to create gatherings and throwing a charitable component to it. But then I really want to scale and create more out of my time. So, for example, saying for the every hour I work, I want to raise 10 times more money for charity, and also, you know, gather 10 times more people. You know, I want to just do more with my time, and I knew there had to be a way. And part of that process was taking a business degree, which, you know, I didn't totally excel in business, but I was able to learn.
Don't worry,
I
was there as well. So.
I won't be out there to say, I won't say I'm a straight A student by any means, but I got the gist of it when I went through business school, and I kind of got to learn, you know, how, you know, money is made and how marketing is done. And despite not doing well in the academic sense, I was able to take those lessons and I applied it to my fundraising events, to actually have some marketing, to actually price structure things a certain way, so that way there's different value for different costs, but at the same time, you know, margins on different sponsorships are big here and low there. I was able to work an entire model, business model, into my fundraising. But I didn't realize...
Sorry. Is there a way... I just want to cut in, just because... is there a way that you can talk a little bit about Casco? Right here, just for the people that are not familiar with Casco. So I think that's a great example of everything coming together.
Yeah, so in the process of learning business school and what I want to, one of my visions, like I said, was fashion, music, dance. And then I did have this passion for business and the skills of business people. And I want to gather these people in a room and have them leverage their passion, which is business, but make a difference for charity. While doing something they love. So I was able to create a business dinner that was an evening filled with fashion, dance, music, and art, and all performed, organized, and developed by business students. And as I tell people, this is not a high school fashion show. This is an entire business community event where it is mainly attended by business people in our community, with only a quarter to a third of the audience as students. It raises a lot of money, and it's been 15 years now, and the students have managed to raise, to gross at least over $1 million for children's charities. So the beauty behind this is we're able to set a platform where business students are allowed to leverage their business skills to this amazing suite of products and services that give back to the community while creating a lot of value, creating a lot of spirit, a lot of love, and most importantly, proving that you could do what you love while giving back to charity.
You know, I myself, when I went through business school, was a part of, you know, I've seen this, I was a part of the show, and I've seen the performances live as well. And I think it's one of the best events in terms of, I'm not just saying this because, you know, we're great friends and I've been a part of it, but you guys have a chapter in, you know, in Montreal, I think, and, you know, I was doing the one in Ottawa. And I love the fact that, I guess you guys were able to give students a platform to really apply some of the concepts that they were learning in the classroom. Because I think a lot of times, you know, people don't get that opportunity until they get, quote unquote, out of school and they graduate, right? And they get into the real world. But, you know, having the opportunity to actually, you know, cold call a sponsor, for example, I think that was so influential for a lot of students that went through something like that.
Absolutely. I've been fortunate to see individuals like yourself. There's Russ McLeod, who handles the Me to We over at Free the Children with the Kielberger Brothers. Laura Bochelle, who's also done some amazing things for in Amsterdam and all over the world. We've seen hundreds of students who have gone through Casco, and it's been such an honor for me to see how they've taken these lessons that they've learned and create an extremely successful professional life. But at the same time, you know, they continue to get back to me and stay in touch with me, tell them that they've always been incorporating community work in their professional and personal life. So it's been such an honor, and to see what they've accomplished and to know that, you know, the platform of Casco jump-started them growing a professional, you know, endeavor through fundraising has been such an honor.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, for people that were involved or that seen the event live or had the opportunity to kind of, you know, engage with any of the students or yourself, I think we're pretty blown away. And, you know, just getting back to your story, what's kind of like, you know, the project that you have kind of going on now? And, you know, tell us a little bit about what's going on with Tuan Yun.
So right now I have a Health Uni Group, which is a group of companies, and they're legal entities, separate legal entities. And the first one I'll start, and then I'll end with the latest project, is Health Uni Consulting. That one is a consulting service that I work with major dental medical groups, and I help them with the entire business strategy and mainly value drivers, so that way, upon exit, there is an increased value when they're ready to sell. And that's basically, to be honest, came out of nowhere. Also met these dentists through volunteerism many, many years ago.
It all connects.
But they wanted me to help them. Yeah, it all connects. And this service has been growing 50%, literally been growing 50% every month till this day still. More because the dental community is becoming very competitive, and I just have to be lucky to have found a niche market where I can apply some of my passions into it, which is, you know, business development, value driving. I love helping a company derive value. And in my opinion, for those who are prepared to exit and move on with different projects, that's where they can, you know, feast on the most and get the most for their hard work. And the other company I've recently launched is the healthgenie.ca. And that's what I'm really, really excited about. It's something I get to really help a group of people that I think really need some help to live their purpose. And so, who are these people? Healthgenie.ca helps solo individual health practitioners or healers who work out of their homes or who work in a small wellness center. And these are individuals who believe in a purpose of making the world healthier. but yet they don't have business skills to do it. And so I offer a live and streamed coaching business training program for these practitioners, and they sign up and they learn a whole bunch of really cool business skills and how to make a business run from the bottom up. And I'm not trying to establish these individuals multimillionaires. What I'm really trying to help is these individuals live their purpose and be able to create a very sustainable and growing practice so they could do what they love and not have to take on a second job or do something part-time. But then I do have my leadership program, which takes a small group of these individuals who want to make it really big. There are some individuals we've worked with for over 10 years now who started in a basement, and now they're global, and I've been able to help them throughout the entire process. And in doing that, I've created a leadership program which brings together over 20 years of my work with both healthcare and non-health professionals, and help people grow, you know, personally. And ultimately, I believe that if you're ready to become a leader, that means you're ready to become a leader in your entire life, at home and at work. Hence, the program is called Leadership is Lifestyle Program, because it really, I believe, it's a lifestyle when you're a leader.
And so if I was like a healthcare practitioner, I'm a solopreneur, and you know, I'm having, you know, my business is not, you know, as big as I want it to be. I mean, what is the first thing that I probably need to do in terms of, I guess, aligning myself? Because, you know, wouldn't I be aligned, I guess, with what I believe to be my purpose already?
Absolutely. It's you know, to be quite honest, many or even most healers we speak to are fully aligned with their purpose, and they kind of know exactly what they want to do. But where they don't know how to do is to literally run a business so it can grow. And if a health practitioner were to come to me right now, the first thing I would do is I would offer what we call a detox. And I'd ask them to find someone who they can trust with some business experience to do a detox on their business, and to find what areas of their business is intoxicating themselves from growing. And it includes a self-assessment. What kind of values, and as you said, Jay, which I love, self-imposed fears may, you know, could you have that's preventing you from growing? You know, it's amazing how you dig deep, and when you do a professional business detox, how much comes up that's preventing from growing. And then the other part is and the other part is focusing on three areas, which is business acumen, helping you develop business acumen, because that's a lot of times that's what's lacking. Then there's management skills, which, believe it or not, there's a lot of management skills when you're balancing treating your patients or clients, as well as improving your healing experience and skills, and also looking for new business and running the business and all that stuff. And the last is leadership. You know, even if you work on your own, you do still need to develop a leadership skill, because you're asking people to trust you to heal them. And believe it or not, that actually stems down to strong, strong leadership skills. So as a healer, Mr. J. Wong, those are the things I would recommend you to do. Detox, then work on management skills, business acumen, and strengthen leadership skills.
Tuan, I absolutely just love that answer. I really do. And as some of the listeners know that I have, you know, part of my history was I was fortunate enough to spend a few years at a company called Strategic Coach. And I mean, I know you know this, and they're kind of positioned as almost like the Harvard or the Princeton if you're a successful entrepreneur. And we have these wildly, wildly successful entrepreneurs from a financial standpoint, right? I think they had to be making a certain amount in terms of net income to even qualify for the program. And what we found with working with these entrepreneurs is, even though they had all the money in the world, some of them had, you know, were well into the millions, some of them had their own private jets, and even though they had on the surface what seemed like quote-unquote success, a lot of their issues, whatever it was, whether it was marketing or hiring or, you know, delegating or, you know, finding the right partners, whatever the issue was, it could all be connected back to a psychological or a mental blockage that they personally had, right? Which makes it really amazing, because sometimes it's not necessarily, most of the time, it's not, the problem is not what we think the problem is. You know, a lot of the time we kind of need to do this type of detox, or this, you know, almost be self-aware enough to know that the real problem is somewhere within. And that, you know, it all connects back to, you know, the inner change maker, right? Because if we can change, if we want to change all these great things on the exterior, we first really have to change what's going on, our inner game, as some people would call it. So I think that was such a great answer. I just want to switch gears a bit, because I know that I think we're all blessed that you have this time with us. I want to switch kind of to some rapid fire questions that that I wanted to ask you, and what are some of your morning rituals, for example?
Oh, great question. So. I wake up, I brush my teeth, of course,
<Yeah. laughs>
but I always include a 20-minute meditation in the morning, which includes some stretching, and then I make a nice, healthy shake every morning. But most of the mental focus starts at that meditation point, because by the time I get to my shake, I'm pumped, I'm ready to rock this planet and make my difference. But the one thing I highly recommend for anyone in this world is to engage into 20 minutes. And if you don't have 20 minutes, try 10. But I recommend 20 minutes of meditation, of complete journey to self-awareness and awareness of your surroundings. And feel your mind and body connected and the power that it has. And then when you open your eyes, you're ready to conquer the world, because at that point, if you do it regularly enough, I do believe that your ability to see opportunity and see change and see yourself in that change magnifies and it's amplified like crazy. Yeah,
A lot of people talk about meditation. I've heard this so many times before as well. I mean, I personally, and I think I speak for a lot of people, I guess, in terms of, meditation, it's difficult to begin sometimes. What's like a good, how did you get up to 20 minutes? What's a good like tactic maybe to just help you meditate? Or is it just one of these things that you have to, the more you do it, the better you are at it?
I think it's a combination of both. I didn't start off right away, and there's some days where it's tough to get into it, but I actually just do one thing. I focus on my breathing, and I actually visualize first. I visualize the air around me, so I actually could feel the air around me, and I visualize the air coming into my nose and exhaling it out through my mouth. I feel the air filling my stomach, and I feel all that. So the first thing I tell myself, what do you want to sense right away? Let's focus on that sense, right? And I start focusing on the air. But after some practice, you're able to focus on complete surroundings and environment, and also internally what you're feeling. And you let yourself go through that journey of feeling, and then this amazing feeling of aliveness and presentness happens when this happens. So that's what I would suggest, is when you close your eyes, and I do like nature sounds. So if I'm not around nature, right now I am, nice as I'm in, but in the morning sometimes I'm not, and I do play sounds of nature. So what I like, I don't have heavy metal going like good old Def Leppard and the Cult, but I have some nice calming sounds, some meditation music.
Yeah,
and then I let myself feel that air. For me, it's all about that air. Yeah.
So visualize the air. I'm gonna try that actually.
Give it a shot. Let me know.
Yeah. No. I definitely will. Which books have you read twice?
So I can start with the latest one, which I'm on the second time, which is The Motivational Manifesto from Brendon Burchard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I really, really, really enjoyed that one. Yeah. I've read Rich Dad Poor Dad a couple of times as well.
Yeah.
And I just purchased the teen version to give it as a gift to a fellow young friend.
Okay.
So I do really enjoy that quite a fair bit. I haven't read all of Malcolm Gladwell's books, but I did read one. I read The Outliers, and I haven't gone around the second time for that. But that one I would definitely pick up and read a second time. Those are some of the books right there. I love books, so I could probably go on forever in terms of what I've read. I'm not some of these guys who've read hundreds of books. I was never a strong reader. But for some weird reason, once I pick up a book that I really enjoyed, I'm able to actually make it through it. My success rate of making through books are not the greatest, mm-hmm. to be honest. Once I find someone that resonates with me, I do. And I just started The Charge from Brendan Burchard as well. I actually love him as an author. And that Charge is already, it's such an amazing book already.
Yeah, no, Brendan has, I haven't gone through my entire copy of Motivation Manifesto. Brendan is some really great content that guy's putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. Go ahead. I'm good.
So when do you think of the word success? Who comes to mind? Who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
Wow, that's a really good question. You're kind of stumping me on this one because I see so many... There's so many successful people, like right off top, because we talked about him. Like I think of Brendan. He's super, super cool. I can even go back to thinking of my own cousin, who worked in a desk job, and she decided to take, a 6 month trip to volunteerism. And she came back and most people thought she would come back to work some more, but she's realized her calling and she's going after it, right? Including yourself, Jay. So many people tell me, Tuan, I wish, I have what you have, whatever, I've been there, and I'm not even fully there yet. I've had my successes, which is great, which is on paper success, right? But the real success, in my opinion, is a pursuit, that you're willing to pursue something you believe in and that you're pursuing in a state of happiness. And Jay, you give me that impression. You give me a state of happiness, and you give me a state that you give me a sense that you have a dream and you go after it. To me, that is success. I look at someone, there's a Porsche behind me right now, and I don't know if that person's successful or not in my eyes. I hope this person is. And in my opinion, is that the person successful is driven from an internal level of happiness and a pursuit of a dream that they believe makes the world better. Right. And if exchange of money is a result of this and a lot of money is made, that's okay. Right. And you could buy your Porsche and you could do this. As for me, I tell myself, I'll buy a Porsche one day, maybe when I have 40 Porsches in my bank account. Right. So, it's people have a different approach. Right.
Right.
I have billionaire friends in the Caribbean who wear ripped t-shirts and they like, not being known. Mm-hmm. And it's just because they like to be quiet. And so I think of my friends in the Caribbean, these are billionaires, but it wasn't because of the money, because when I met them through a volunteerism effort. They were wearing a ripped t-shirt barbecuing.
Right.
They looked like a normal person, very happy, but they're focused on doing what they believe is right was what, to me, was my illustration of what success is all about.
For sure, and I thank you so much for those kind words, and I love that, though, because that's part of the purpose of doing a podcast like this, right? I didn't necessarily want to go after all the already mega successful kind of A-lister people that you hear about all the time, because it's sometimes, even though they have great stories and they came from amazing backgrounds, I think the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of success, sometimes people forget that they focus completely on quote unquote the destination, and they forget about this learning journey, the journey of personal growth, the journey of effort, right? The journey of doing something that you're completely out of your element a little bit, and you're able to grow so much as a person. And success is essentially correlated with how much are you learning, rather than kind of like a validation of I'm able to buy XYZ type of item or car or Porsche. But no, I think that was really great. And I think, you know, the time that you've been with us, I think, has been extremely educational for the listener. And so, you know, where could they find more information about you? I'm going to link to a couple of your TED Talks. I'll link to your website as well. But what's the easiest way for them to kind of get access to you and learn more about you?
Well, that's in the website, healthgenie.ca, which I think you'll be posting, which thank you for that, by the way.
And, yeah, no worries.
But, you know, they could contact me through Facebook. They could email me through the website. And then I could get in touch. And if there's something we can create that's meaningful and learn from each other, then I'm game for that stuff, always game for that stuff.
Well, that's awesome. I'm sure we're going to see you on the podcast at some other point as well. But, you know, thank you so much, Tuan, for your time. And, you know, we'll see you next time.
Cool. Thanks, bud. Thank you so much.
That is it for this week's interview. Did you like what you heard? If so, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We're building a community together for changemakers under the belief that together we can change the world. Join the movement at www.theinnerchangemaker.com. You can also go there for show notes and additional resources not provided in the podcast. Until next time, live with passion, live your dream, and live it now.